the Avenging Hour. I'm Jason. John's not talking to me. So this will be an interesting episode. What are you up to, Jason? Oh, not much. Everything's cool. How was your day? I liked it. It was good. Yeah.
Jason, will you turn my microphone back on?
Oh, what microphone? I don't need you. I'm going solo.
Solo, we can't hear you. Hey, it's John. Jason cut my microphone at the end of the last episode.
He's lying.
But I would never give up on our fan.
We have new fans. We have a fan in the Netherlands now. I think you just listened to it while you were on
vacation. I was in the Netherlands. I was in the Netherlands. My gosh, I should have said something. I could have met our fan in the Netherlands.
Yeah, they just popped up on the two episodes ago.
Well, whoever you are in the Netherlands, I love your country. I really, really love the Netherlands.
That puts us in 9 countries.
Wow.
Crazy.
I wonder how many of them I've been in.
Let's see. We have the United States.
Been there.
Okay. Canada.
Been there.
Mexico.
Been there.
We have France.
Been there.
Norway. You didn't do Norway.
No, I didn't do Norway.
I didn't do Norway. Netherlands and...
been there.
Japan.
No. Sorry, Japan and Norway.
Is that all of them? Did I name? I don't know.
You're on my list.
You're on my list.
In a good way, a good list.
Do we have anything to talk about before we get started?
We should have questions. The question this month is, what do you do in your spare time?
When I'm not podcasting? Isn't this my spare time?
Yeah. How in the world do you even have spare time? And you have like 8 kids.
Just 3. It feels like 8 sometimes.
I bet.
They run around really quickly. My kids are like mad drunks. Bump into each other and suddenly there's more of them.
So you don't...
Actually, the problem is my wife and I bumped into each other and now there's more of them. Hey-o! What do I do in my spare time? You know, I write books. Did you know that?
I've heard this rumor.
Yeah. I haven't had anything published yet, but I sort of have an agent, so we're working towards it.
Sort of.
I speak to him once in a while.
I read and I watch movies.
You go to Disney a lot.
I do. I like Disney. I like to travel, period. I wasn't at Disney this last travel. Though I did go to Tivoli Gardens in Copenhagen, which is the park that Walt Disney visited that made him go, you know what?
I can do this better.
I think I could do this. Actually, Tivoli Gardens is a absolutely adorable, beautiful park. I quite enjoyed it for all of our Copenhagen listeners.
The Copenhagenians?
The Copenhagenese. I really like your park. It's amazing. I would have liked to have spent more time there. I also, I do a lot of geeky things.
Just to spoil everything, we're recording this, but it's not going to go up until after I go on vacation. I am going up through New England, and I'm going to stop in Rutland, Vermont, and get my picture by, like, the town signs. Maybe I'll wear a Halloween costume, too. So.
Put it on the Instagram.
Put it on the Instagram.
Let's see if you meet the collector.
Is he wandering out in the woods? Oh, no, that's Loki. Loki's in a cabin in the woods.
Well, the collector had a house, though, in Rutland.
Oh, that's right. So he bought the house.
He
was working the real estate market
in
Rutland, Vermont. What did our pros say? What do they do in their spare time?
Roger Stern likes to put bottles inside of ships. Again, so he thinks they're funny.
Hilarious.
Al Milgrom says, what spare time? Joe Sinnott, the inker, likes to collect Bing Crosby records. How old is this man?
How long does that take? Don't you have them all up by now?
And coaches a softball team. Janice Chang, the letterer, spends time with her son. Whatever. Is that a hobby?
That's spare time?
Isn't that duty or
it's a
requirement?
Job, right?
Yeah. Carl Gafford, the colorist. So no crazy woman this time.
Wait, what?
He likes to feed stray cats. People are weird.
Really weird.
Mike Carlin twiddles his thumbs. Mm. Mark Gruenwald does things not approved by the comics code, which in the 80s still could be a lot of things. Because there was a lot. Maybe he raises zombies. I'm sorry, zuvembies.
Maybe he's selling drugs.
Or taking them. And Jim Shooter also says, spare time? Spare time? Because he thinks he's funny. Alrighty, Roo. That's it. We'll do the other question at the end.
All right.
If we have time.
Previously on The Avenging Hour, just in case you forgot how annoying Scarlet Witch could be, we got a lengthy origin flashback before finally finding out who Plant Man's partner was from a few issues ago. It was the Wizard, and nobody cares. And now, episode 106.
We're starting with Avengers number 236 from October of 1983. It is by Roger Stern and Al Milgrom, and it is called I Wanna Be an Avenger. Ho-hum. It's a boring day at Avengers Mansion. The Scarlet Witch is on monitor duty, wondering if she switched the Vision from AC to DC if he might wake up. Captain America is sitting and watching the Vision's inert form, no doubt wondering how the Synthezoid would look in a Bucky outfit. Star Fox is trying to convince the Wasp to have sex with him. She-Hulk is looking for apartments in the local paper as she bathes in the tub that Jarvis usually uses to do the laundry in, scrubbing their uniforms clean down at the creek. There's just nothing exciting going on. Bree! Bree! Why, that's the world's weirdest sounding intruder alarm. What could it be? She-Hulk gives Jarvis the full Monty. So quickly does she rush off for some excitement. And she's met by the rest of the team at the front door, where they find evidence of someone breaking in and webbing all their mechanical arms and... Wait a minute. Webbing? It could only be one person. Sure enough, in the dining room they find Spider-Man, hanging from the ceiling in a seductive pose, letting them know he's taking Thor up on his offer of membership. Ooh, that's nice of you, but you're not needed, Webhead. See, when Thor made that offer months ago, their time, over a year ago in real time, they needed members. Now, though, the team is full. The Wasp suggests that he be put in the trainee program with Star Fox, but Spider-Man is not amused. Training? He's been a hero longer than anyone on the team except for Cap, and he's been active in the modern era even longer than him. Why would he need training? Aroo! Aroo!
What the hell is going on?
No, that's not the sound of a tugboat. It's the sound of the Avengers Priority Alert. That's different from the intruder alarm. How many alarms does this team have, and do they each have different sounds? Apparently the priority alarm means it could be top secret, and even though Spider-Man offers to help, the Wasp says he can't because he doesn't have security clearance, so there's the door, and don't let it hit you on the webmaker on the way out. Bye-bye. Once outside, Spider-Man sticks close by, pondering how he might be able to convince the team to let him join. He really could use the money. Suddenly, a Quinjet containing Captain America, She-Hulk, and Star Fox blasts out of the mansion, and without thinking it through, Spider-Man jumps for it, clinging to the bottom of the aircraft. The occupants of the Quinjet don't seem to notice as they talk about their destination. Project Pegasus. What's that, you ask? Well, good old Cap knows. Bend a knee, youngster, and he'll tell you all about it. Project Pegasus is a government research facility focused on seeking out new forms and sources of energy. Cap helped to organize their security, but they're a magnet for trouble, as many wealthy individuals have a vested interest in sticking to the old fossil fuel model. Oh, and they also house supervillains there. Landing at the project, the Avengers are immediately notified that there's something on the bottom of their ship. Looking closer, it seems to be a web cocoon? Yep, Spidey whipped that up to provide cover for himself during the flight, and now he's ready to help the team. Ooh, except he kind of snuck into a secret government installation and Cap is not happy. Luckily, before Cap pulls his belt off for the spanking, the entire project is rocked by some sort of tremor. Once everyone has caught their breath, Spidey mentions that he's been at the project before, and Cap agrees to bring the webhead along. The group heads to the lower levels of the project where the new security chief is. After knocking down some doors that seem unnecessarily large, the Avengers find the new security chief, Michael O'Brien, wearing a suit of armor called the Guardsman, who was trapped under some sort of molten tuber? The team frees him, and using his leprechaun Irish accent, he fills them in. Top of the morning to you, me boyo! The scientists were testing a new device that bored into the Earth when suddenly there was a malfunction, and a stream of lava came shooting out of the hole, followed by these men made of lava. I ordered an evacuation and shut the doors, and then the wee Brannigan swarmed me and destroyed me armor. Also, don't touch me Lucky Charms.
You're up there with our Ireland listener.
Look, I'm just saying, it's a bad Irish accent. I'm sorry, I got lost in your brogue there for a minute, but did you say Lava Men? Like, from issue number 5 of this comic, Lava Men? Good grief, and I thought it was stupid to bring the Space Phantom back after 100 issues. Now we're bringing back one-off baddies from 200 issues ago? I really hope this means the Commissar shows up next issue. Anyway, O'Brien tells the team that the Lava Men are trapped in the maintenance section, and from there they could go anywhere in the complex, including the nuclear research dome. Nuclear? We're gonna need a bigger boat. More Avengers. Speaking of which, we go to New Orleans, where Captain Marvel is getting a small business loan to open a... well, we don't know what. No time to figure it out now as her alarm watch goes off, and she's soon zooming through the skies, catching up with the Scarlet Witch and Wasp in their Quinjet. The three ladies are off to help the rest of the team at Project Pegasus. Once there, they head down to the maintenance section to meet up with their teammates. Meanwhile, in another part of the project entirely, the recent tremors have caused some tech to tech, and suddenly a ghostly black figure emerges. The figure assumes the form of a man, who immediately knocks out the technicians while raving and babbling like either a lunatic or a 1960s supervillain. He does manage to sneak his name, Blackout, into his rant. He leaves the lab and is accosted by Moonstone, also a prisoner at the project. She convinces the crazy man to free her and then gains his trust, and Moonstone has a plan. Back to our A-plot, where our original group of Avengers plus Spidey are fighting Lava Men like there's no tomorrow. Anyway, the fight is going... okay for our heroes, and Cap is a tad frustrated that one member of his group, whose name rhymes with miter spam, isn't following orders the way he'd like. But when things start to look really bad, Captain Marvel shows up in her light form and suddenly all the Lava Men are bowing to her? They call her the Lady of Light, and it is clear that she is the C-3PO to their Ewoks. Now that everyone's calmed down, the lava men explain that they only attacked the project because the tests the project were conducting were destroying their homeland. Apologies are made, and it looks like it's time for the end credits. Except for one thing. Blackguard and Moonstone have freed two more prisoners from the project that they hope to use to escape. Yes, energy-generating villains Electro and the Rhino... Wait, the Rhino? Why the heck is he stuck somewhere that studies energy? What sort of energy does he generate? Explosive flatulence? Anyway, these four villains are ready to escape, and they're not going to let the Avengers stop them. Our roll call this issue is Star Fox, The Wasp, She-Hulk, Captain America, The Scarlet Witch, and Captain Marvel. We see Jarvis, Spider-Man, and the Guardsmen. And our villains are the Lava Men, with a small cameo from Blackout, Moonstone, Electro, and the Rhino.
And you get to tell us about all of them.
So many new characters this issue. Let us start with the Guardsmen. Guardsmen first appeared in Iron Man number 82, which was in January of 1976, and he is Michael O'Brien. His brother was named Kevin O'Brien, and he was the original Guardsman. Apparently, Kevin O'Brien was a friend to Tony Stark, and so Stark built him a suit of armor called the Guardsman. Unfortunately, Kevin put the armor on before it was finished, and the helmet drove him insane. Apparently...
Because you couldn't get it off?
Apparently, you can get that armor completely ready, but if you don't do that last little bit, the armor drives you crazy. He fought... When the armor drove him insane, he fought Iron Man and eventually accidentally died in battle with him.
Yeah.
So Michael O'Brien, who was a police officer, he thought Iron Man was responsible for his brother's death, which, let's be honest, he was. And so he broke into the Stark Enterprises plant, found the Guardsman armor, put it on, and it promptly drove him insane.
I'm starting to think it's the armor.
Stark managed to get through to Michael. He became rational. He fought the insanity from the helmet. He eventually recovered.
How do you get insane from a piece of metal?
And then he began to warm up to Tony Stark, helped him out a few times. And so Stark fixed the armor so that Michael could wear it and become the Guardsman. We're going to see a lot more of him in the future of this title without the armor. And we're going to see a lot more of the armor in the future without him.
Yeah, there's more Guardsmen, aren't there?
Yeah. Not at this point in time. At this point in time, he's the only one.
Yeah, but don't they become like the security force at a prison in Colorado or something?
Yeah, what Stark does is he basically takes the Guardsman armor and mass produces it, lending it out to the Vault, which is prison that houses... and we'll see. We're going to see it in this book coming up. So, that's the Guardsman. Blackout. Blackout first appeared in Nova number 19 in May of 1978. Nova.
Yeah.
The crap. Who appears in Nova first? His name is Marcus Daniels. He was a lab assistant to a Dr. Kroit who was trying to get energy from other dimensions. In a lab accident that seemed all too common in the Marvel Universe, Marcus Daniels was bathed in the energy that they were studying, which was Dark Force from the Dark Force dimension. The accident caused him to go insane, and he came in conflict with Nova, and they fought, and during the fight, Blackout fell back into the device and was transported to the Dark Dimension.
Dark Force Dimension.
The Dark Force Dimension, not the Dark Dimension. They need to fight Dormammu. I should say the Guardsman's powers are basically, he's like Iron Man Light. Blackout's powers kind of make him, he can control Dark Force. It's kind of like Green Lantern. If all he could control was black, icky, or not icky, but inky material.
Yeah, it has a substance to it.
Yeah. It's like tar. It's like floating tar, I guess.
Yeah.
It's weird. This is also the first time we've seen... Oh, geez. I wrote Electro and Rhino. We've actually seen one of them before, but I did notes for both.
We've seen Electro before, haven't we?
We saw Electro. Is that the one? Okay. So I'm not doing Electro again. But Rhino. Rhino first appeared in Amazing Spider-Man number 41 in October of 1966. His real name is Alexei Sistovich. He is a freelance mercenary who was working for some communists. They grafted skin on him. A rhino skin on him, not regular skin. He had that already. The rhino skin gave him superhuman strength and limited invulnerability.
That doesn't make any sense.
He has fought Spider-Man and many other heroes many times.
Wouldn't you think it would just slow him down?
Yeah, well, he's an odd villain. And that's all the new characters, I believe.
We don't see much of Rhino again, do we? I mean, next issue, but...
Not really in the Avengers. He's not... His inclusion here I find very odd, because really, why is he at Project Pegasus?
Well, in my notes, I say it's convenient that the bad guys include two Spider-Man villains.
Yeah. Well, and Electro does make some sense, but... Yeah. And obviously Moonstone and Blackout do, but Rhino?
We'll see more of Blackout soon.
I'm trying to think if there's another Spider-Man villain that has energy power zone. I can't think of one, so I guess if you were gonna...
Mysterio...
Positive energy powers. It's a fishbowl. He has fishbowl powers.
Flash bomb. Ha ha. Where am I?
I love Mysterio. He's one of my favorite villains.
It's funny. Anyway, so Spider-Man walked right in through the front door.
I don't know why he didn't break through the wall. If he did, they probably would have hired him on the spot.
They talk about how great their security system is, and it couldn't stop Spider-Man.
And you gotta love the She-Hulk when the alarm goes off, and she just jumps up out of the
it's like a hot tub,
I guess. She just jumps up out of it with no clothes on, and Jarvis is like all taken aback, and she's like, I don't got time for this, give me a towel, let's go.
A hot tub that is drawn completely out of proportion from one panel to the next.
Yeah,
look at the panel up on the top of the page. Jarvis, it like reaches Jarvis's like the bottom of his rib cage because he's able to hand the tray over to her, but then three panels later it looks like it's about 3 feet taller than Jarvis.
Yeah, it's confusing for sure. So I have a question for you as well. Was it almost dinner time, or does Jarvis always have that stuff on the table?
I don't think they use that room. I think that's just where he puts the silver out when he's polishing it.
Yeah, because the table's not set, because there's like 14 spoons, but they're all in a row.
And the knives are all over across one side. And
it's very odd. And I am curious if they have different alarms for every situation, and do you have to memorize them as an Avenger?
Well, it's got to be like ringtones, so you know who's calling in.
Exactly. I do love Spider-Man. When they kick Spider-Man out of the mansion, and he's like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have come on like so strong. Maybe I should have come in a little bit more contrite and humble. And he says, nah, they would never have believed it was me, which I thought was a nice line.
Yeah, but maybe he could have just knocked on the door.
Yeah, he could have been less of a little
destructive,
yeah, conceited. Yeah. Web-slinger.
My next note is, seriously, the Lava Men? But I think you covered that in your write-up.
And they really didn't. They look much cooler when they were drawn by Jack Kirby.
They did, and wait, we find out that the Lava Men talk? Have they always talked?
Yeah, they talked in the first
one. But they talk like normal English language conversations with them. Like it's, oh, hey, how you guys doing?
Well, theoretically, they talked like that before, but because Stan Lee was running it, nobody talked like that.
I thought that they talked more more caveman-like. I thought they spoke. No. They spoke eloquently.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just because it's been 200 issues and I don't remember.
Yeah, probably.
I was just curious why someone didn't try to talk to them to ask them, you know, why they were just going on blind rampage, like berserker rage.
I have no more notes, so just take it away.
So Captain Marvel's applying for a loan for a side gig. Like you said, we don't find out what it is, but did they really have to show the bank manager having naughty thoughts about her?
Yeah, right? That seems so inappropriate.
It's very 80s there, isn't it?
Inappropriate and completely unnecessary. It adds nothing to the scene, except, I guess, to let us know that people think Captain Marvel's beautiful, which obviously she's beautiful.
Because she's drawn that way. They used Star Fox as a distraction because they still don't know what to do with his powers.
How true.
Captain America yells at Spider-Man, but I'm pretty sure that Spider-Man did exactly what he asked him to. He just didn't do it the way that Captain America wanted him to do it.
I mean, Captain America says Spider-Man put some web barriers in their path. Instead of putting barriers,
sprayed webs on them.
Well, Captain America was saying put like a web wall up. And Spider-Man instead sprays it directly on them.
Does Captain America forget that these people are made out of lava or something?
Well, what happens is the Lava Men burn through his webbing.
Because they get angry.
They get angry because it's sprayed on them. And he says, we've lost. Now they know that they have nothing to fear from your webbing. I think your point is if he'd used it to put up barriers, they would have burned through it as well.
Yeah, what's the...
I think Captain America's point is maybe they wouldn't have. Maybe they would have just assumed, well, that looks tough. I'm not going to mess with that.
Hey, I didn't see that wall there 3 seconds ago. I think we'll have to go around it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I agree with you. Captain America gets really angry about something that seems like splitting hairs.
He's very edgy lately.
Yeah.
And my only other note was Blackout sounds like a crazy person, but we covered that in his origin.
Yeah, he is a crazy person.
He's a little unhinged.
Bullpen Boltons?
Al Milgrom has given up being an editor so he can go back to being a writer-artist. Carl Potts will take over editing his titles. Tom DeFalco has been promoted to executive editor. He will be handling movie adaptations and special projects. And we get the first hint of the creation of Star Comics, the children's line from Marvel that he's going to start to spearhead here.
And Tom DeFalco's promotion here will be, I think, what puts him in line to take over as editor-in-chief when Shooter leaves.
Yeah. Danny Fingeroff will take over the titles that DeFalco had been editing, which were pretty much everything Spider-related. And Shooter hints at the upcoming Assistant Editors Month. Man, they're really pushing this weird thing. I don't...
So in the hype box, they have this issue again. We again have an Avengers issue in the hype box.
Does that mean anything?
I'm not sure if it's a good thing to be in the hype box or a bad thing. If it's like,
please buy this comic.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're pushing their comics that aren't selling or if they're thinking these are the best issues we're doing this month, so we want to spotlight them.
This one with the Lava Man and Rhino for no reason? Maybe it's just because Spider-Man's in it, they're pushing it.
Well, that could be too. Are we going to the letters page?
I am.
Letters page.
We learned that a Canadian named Preston Wood is mostly responsible for the new logo, having created a version of it just for fun. My only note on that is that in today's lawsuit-happy society, I'm sure they'd never admit that publicly.
Right.
And the logo's ugly. Did I mention that last time?
I know you don't like the logo.
Ricky Nelson, I don't think it's the same Ricky Nelson, of Topeka, Kansas, believes that Captain Marvel could easily beat the rest of the team in about 30 seconds.
Yeah, probably not wrong.
We've never really spoken about the extent of her powers.
We have talked. We talked a little bit about how her powers are. So far, we haven't really seen it in this book, but she is wildly overpowered.
I said they seem vaguely too much.
Yeah. But she, so far, they've, you know, the book has, Roger Stern has managed to keep her from seeming like she's crazy, crazy powerful.
Yeah, he hasn't really had her use her...
She's not cut loose.
She hasn't really used her powers offensively.
Yeah.
And Jeff Jacobs of Baldwinsville, New York, wants to know why Iron Man had to quit the team. He says that since he got over alcoholism once before, couldn't he just do it again? Don't think he knows how that works.
Yeah, no. He also thinks that Iron Man should have been replaced by the Vision, Wonder Man, Iron Fist, Daredevil, or Spider-Man.
All those things don't fit.
Well, especially, how do you replace Iron Man with Daredevil? How are they possibly in the same league? Here we have a multi-billion dollar industrialist inventor with a suit of armor that enables him to fly into outer space, shoot powerful force blasts, and makes him one of the mainstays of the team. And we're going to replace him with a lower middle class lawyer who can kung fu ya. He also wants to know if Wolverine's claws can cut Cap's shield. Nerd. And you mentioned about how he says, can't Iron Man just get over alcoholism? And the answer does point out that you don't just get over alcoholism, which is nice. That at least the editors recognize that, you know, that's not how it works.
Being an alcoholic isn't the same as just sobering up from a night of drinking. It's not.
J.W. Litch of Middlesex, Massachusetts thinks the training program is childish, but I couldn't disagree with more. I still think it's a good idea.
If we had any idea what the training program was.
Well, it's where you train.
Somehow about something.
I'm surprised this didn't come back after Civil War.
Seems they like did. Well, they had the whole Avengers Academy thing, so.
And Joe Ferraro of Elkridge, Maryland asks a question that gives the editors a chance to reiterate that the Avengers are funded by the Maria Stark Foundation, totally separate from Tony Stark's finances and his company.
Oh, yeah, they ask about when Stane ends up taking over Stark International.
Always good to remember. MVP this issue.
I gave it to Captain Marvel just for showing up.
I did as well. I mean, she ends the fight without doing anything. She is their C-3PO. Useless character?
I said Wasp. She didn't really do much leading this time around.
I gave it to the Scarlet Witch. She can't even do monitor duty right.
Oh, she's still there?
Yeah, right.
Forgot she was in this one.
Best quote taken out of context.
That earth tremor has done something to the vibratory pitch of the Kreut stabilizer.
I have two of them.
I thought I'd throw you off with something like that.
I have two of them. Here's the first one. Well, something's turned this thing on. My other one is, they want to use me the way they'd use you if they got the chance.
Did Cap say that?
Avengers level threat?
Maybe in sheer numbers?
Yeah, the Lava Men kind of teeter on the brink, but I would say no, especially in this case, because if they were a threat in issue number 5, it was because they were
pushing a giant explosive rock to the surface?
And they had a guiding leader behind them. This issue is just like mass chaos.
They're just lost in a hallway.
They're like giant, yeah, so, yeah, probably not. Final grade?
I give it a B. There's some new stuff, some good interaction with Spider-Man, and there's some villainous intrigue.
Yeah, I give it a B+. It's, you know, it's a fun plot.
You always have to go a half grade higher than me.
The characterization's good. It's a little wordy, but there's a lot in this issue. I mean, my recap took a long time. There's a lot going on.
Well, I can fix that because this recap takes like 2/3 of a page. Issue 237 from November of 1983, written by Roger Stern with art by Al Milgrom. It is titled Meltdowns and Mayhem. With our misunderstanding resolved, the Lava Men return to their subterranean village like so many weary travelers boarding a plane. Assurances are made that no more drilling will take place near their home, and our focus turns to the bad guys who have pledged to bring Project Pegasus to the ground. However, first they have to solve their own internal problems. It seems Rhino doesn't trust Blackout. The two baddies skirmish until their erstwhile partners finally split them up. Back to the heroes, it seems I spoke too soon. The stupid Lava Men are still here, while Spider-Man over-explains their departure. As soon as the glowing rock folk are gone, Wasp lays into Spider-Man for almost ruining their mission, then pivots to offer him membership. And then the entire team lectures him about following orders, and I have to believe, if I were him, I'd tell them where to stick their membership cards. The team prepares to return to their Quinjet, transported to the air pad in a glorified pneumatic tube, when the device suddenly goes on the fritz. Clearly not caring about anything but their own safety, the Avengers start bashing their way out of the tube to discover what's the what. When Guardsman finally reached a communication station, he's told that four prisoners have broken out and are heading to the nuclear research dome. That sounds bad. What is it with everyone wanting to go to the nuclear research dome?
I know, right?
The Avengers punch their way through a melted steel door, but the next obstacle has them stumped. A giant black wall that's kind of slippery but not too tough. She-Hulk punches a hole in it and gets zapped by Electro waiting on the other side. As Spider-Man attempts to shoot a web at the villain, the black wall heals itself and everyone is confused. Moonstone appears on a view screen and tells the heroes no dice, before ordering Electro to energize the wall. Sensing none of them have the fortitude to tackle the now zappy-zappy structure, they bring Scarlet Witch to the front of the room to hex the crap out of it. The wall goes down, the good guys stream in, and the fight is on. Captain Marvel is quickly encased in a Dark Force bubble. Spidey goes straight for Rhino. Star Fox punches Blackout in the neck. Scarlet Witch knocks out Electro by changing the probability of air entering his lungs, much to Captain America's discomfort. And, I don't know, a bunch of other stuff happens. Eventually, Spider-Man's villains are taken out and the other two escape, but not before Moonstone damages the reactor. The suspense builds as Spider-Man and Captain Marvel work together to fix it all before a meltdown wipes out the entire compound, and everyone is safe. Back at the mansion, the team takes a needed breather to collect themselves. Cap and Wasp contact the NSC to get clearance for Spider-Man to join the team and are instantly rebuffed by Sikorsky. Oh well, better luck next time, Spidey. The end. Our roll calls Captain Marvel, Captain America, She-Hulk, Star Fox, Scarlet Witch, and Wasp. Spider-Man and the Guardsmen are still here. The Lava Men return home. Sikorsky makes a screen appearance. And our villains are Moonstone, Blackout, Rhino, and Electro.
You said about how short your summary was. I don't know if you can see my notes are almost as short. I'm assuming you don't have much note-wise.
No, it's just a fight.
So the villains are... Blackout is ranting and raving about his powers. And Electro goes over to Moonstone and he's like, you know, I've only had a minor science education, and I know this guy's, what he's saying makes no sense. And I thought it was funny because to me, what he's saying sounds like all Marvel science. None of it makes sense. Like, I didn't notice anything different about what he was saying than any other Marvel villain. I'm glad that they told us that he was supposed to make no sense, because I would not have known otherwise.
And Rhino's obviously not going to understand it because he's an idiot.
And right, how true. And Moonstone, again, Moonstone says, we were all imprisoned here so the project scientists could study our energy powers. And I again ask, what energy powers does Rhino have? I do like at the end of this issue.
They want to understand how he holds in all his urine. Oh. Seriously, how does he go to the bathroom?
I do not know. I do not want to know.
He's fused in there.
Maybe the
Rhino skin includes it. Yeah,
it absorbs it.
Ew. Ew. He's all squishy all the time.
Could you imagine?
Smells like a homeless person.
He charges Spider-Man. Spider-Man jumps. He hits a wall. And this yellow liquid just goes out of him.
Leaves a mark on the wall.
It's horrible.
I'm making pee angels.
Oh, my gosh. I do like at the end of the issue when Spider-Man gets to save the day with his scientific prowess. I always like when Spider-Man gets to be... Yes, he's just smarty brains. Yeah. I'd say I got nothing else. Bullpen Boltons?
Shooter mentions the upcoming Assistant Editors Month again.
Yeah.
Falcon gets his own limited series starting this month, and Hawkeye's first limited series is now up to issue number 3.
I've got nothing on the letters page except for the question.
I have one letter. Carlos Martagena of Cheshire, Connecticut, points out that the book is really tying corners of the Marvel Universe together, bringing in Fantastic Four and troubles with Stark in his own title. I agree.
Oh, sure.
I think it all works best like that.
Yes.
That was one of the things I was going to bring up when we were having our discussion about, you know, what we'd do if we redid Marvel Universe. They really need to tie the titles all kind of in together again.
Yeah, it's not that we need crossovers like Marvel's doing right now.
Just references.
But you just need to understand that these are all happening in the same universe.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what would probably help? Less titles.
That might be, yeah.
The question, since we have a little bit of time, the question of the month here is, what Marvel character do you most relate to?
Hawkeye. Come on, you know what I was going to say. Hawkeye.
Yeah, I can see that.
He's obnoxious and always out for himself.
I don't really relate to any of them. Like, there's not one that I go, oh yeah, I see me in that one.
Gargoyle.
Well, I am 80 years old, and my body looks like a gargoyle, so yeah, that works. Roger Stern... relates to Roger Cross from Ghost Rider. I don't know who the heck that is.
I don't know who that is either.
Is it just because we're both named Roger? I don't know. Al Milgram relates to the Living Tribunal. These people think they're funny. Joe Sinnott says Reed Richards. You wish. Joe Rosen, the letterer, says Indiana Jones. Christy Scheel.
Oh, she's back.
Is back. She says Tigra, which I'm really curious to know more about her.
Yeah, that kind of fits, really.
Mike Carlin says... he makes a joke about how many multiple personalities Moon Knight has. Mark Gruenwald says The Watcher. Which actually...
it fits.
That actually makes more sense than you might think for a cosmic entity. And Jim Shooter says, whichever one I'm involved with at the moment. I don't know if he means sexually or what.
What does that mean?
All right. That's all we got. MVP.
My MVP is Captain Marvel again, quickly becoming the most useful team member.
I gave it to Scarlet Witch. I thought they gave her two big moments this issue. Gave her something to do. Useless character.
Star Fox. Yeah. He has literally done nothing since joining the team, really.
Yeah, I agree with you. Except for explaining some signs to the Avengers when they were fighting Annihilus. Best quote taken out of context?
I'm sliding right off.
I didn't have one, but I like that. Avengers level threat?
Maybe if they worked better together.
I think they're close. They're almost like a Masters of Evil. If you had like an egghead behind them, then maybe.
Yeah, they're powerful enough. They just don't.
But they're not. You're right. They don't quite work well enough together. And Moonstone is, at this point in time in her history, not a very good team leader because she's a little too self-serving. Final grade.
I gave it a B.
I gave it a B plus again. Same as last. We're both the same as last issue.
Oh, on our next episode, Vision goes a little wonky with power and the Avengers are off to California to help Tigra and Spider-Woman. But not before stopping by NBC Studios to hang out with David Letterman.
Yay.
Yeah, right?
Why would they be going to David Letterman's studio? That seems an odd thing for an editor to let happen in this book.
It's weird. It's almost like the editors aren't around for that month.
Well, who would be in? Would it be the assistant editors in charge then?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know what you'd call that, though. Huh. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. If you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email at mail@avenginghour.com. Our Instagram and Twitter feeds are at Avenging Hour. We have a Facebook page and a web page, avenginghour.com. I'm fading now. It's time to go. Bye-bye.
Bye.